The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. With us this week, and we're very happy to have him, is Nick Langworthy, the chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome back, Chairman Langworthy. I know you don't like titles, but I always want to introduce you that way so people know who you are.
Well, I'm just Nick, but I'm glad to be back.
Hey, Nick, basically, by acclamation almost, the Republican Party seems to be backing Lee Zeldin from Long Island. And Zeldin, of course, is a Trumper, and Trump is not popular in New York State. So the question I have for you, I don't want to be difficult about this, is did you pick him because you were afraid not to pick a Trumper for that job, even though he couldn't be that popular?
Congressman Zeldin is his own man, A. He's been elected, I believe, in seven straight elections in purple districts on Long Island, and you know, a very difficult political marketplace. They've spent $12.5 million trying to defeat him in the last election, and he won by 11 points. I mean, Congressman Zeldin is battle-tested in life, battle-tested in the political realm. You know, he stands for common sense, and he's got a track record to prove it. So, you know, I know the one playbook that the Democrats salivate at, and it's really all they've got because they can't defend really anything that they have going on in their own world right now. And they're going to use that. We saw what they did to Mark Molinaro, where, you know, even though Mark Molinaro said he didn't vote for the president, they called him Trump's mini-me. You know, Andrew Cuomo spent millions on that. Trump's not on the ballot in 2022. The Democratic agenda is on the ballot, and Lee Zeldin, I believe, will be the next great Republican governor of this state.
Was he having trouble keeping that congressional seat?
No. And, you know, as I just articulated, you had $12.5 million in outside monies and self-funding candidate, you know, coming at Congressman Zeldin, and he won the district by 11 percentage points. He's won by wider margins in almost every single election. So he is putting his own personal trajectory in the Congress behind him and instead focusing on trying to save New York, because we need to restore balance to Albany. It's crystal clear that one-party Democratic control has really taken the state off the rails. And we need balance, and that balance is going to come at the governor's mansion.
Well, I have a question for you. So Zeldin becomes the presumptive choice on the Republican side. How important is Trump to you guys? In other words, how much control does the ex-president have on what Republicans do in New York State?
The president hasn't weighed in on this race one iota. I believe he's got relationships with all of the candidates running in the Republican field so far. And, you know, I, as it's very well documented, have a longstanding relationship with President Trump. And he has not, you know, exerted any influence in this process whatsoever. Lee Zeldin has gone out and traveled the state of New York and introduced himself to our party faithful and party regulars. He's visited all 62 counties, including some like my home in Erie County. I think he's been here 10 times already since last December. That's a really incredible feat when you look at how hard Lee has worked. He's at a frenetic pace traveling New York. He documents it weekly in his emails on the counties he's visited, the places he's gone. And that's why he's the presumptive nominee. That's why he's earned over 90% of the weighted vote of our state party's endorsement to date, when our convention will be next February. And he's lapped the field two or three times at this point, because, you know, he knows why he wants to run. He knows what he brings to the table. and he's out there fighting like hell to get his message out. And he's also raised an extraordinary sum of money at this point. He's raised over $5 million at the last filing period in July. You know, Lee Zeldin had raised more than Kathy Hochul and Tish James combined. So I think he's put us in the best shot to win a statewide race that we've had in the last 25 years.
So do you really think he can win? Because if he does, I'm going to meet you in Macy's window.
I do believe that he can and he will win.
Okay, thank you for your honesty about that. You have a picture of yourself with President Trump on the front page of the Republican website. Why did you do that?
I'm sorry, I don't understand
why
your question.
The question is, why did you do that? It's an anti-Trump state. There you are. Is it because the Republicans are so formidable for Trump? Is that why you chose to put yourself standing in the front page picture on your website with President Trump?
President Trump was president of the states. I know some of you have a hard time accepting that fact. Many Republicans support the president.
Because he didn't get the most votes.
He's not currently the president of the United States. But you have this obsession that, you know, he's trying to call the plays behind the scenes. You know, President Trump has been a strong ally of mine. He's helped us raise funds for the state Republican Party since I took over. And, you know, I don't remember any Republican president being a great boom to our electoral success. I mean, I remember some very sad years in the Bush era as Republicans, you know, suffered down ballot. Trump actually brought new voters to the table and saved an awful lot of seats and grew strength in our congressional delegation. So, you know, if you want to just keep talking about President Trump, I mean, then,
no.
You know, your listeners are going to get mighty bored. But, you know, there's a lot of key issues that I think you and I might need to peel into since you haven't had me on the show in about a year.
And we're going to do it. And by the way, you're always welcome on this show. Always. Let's talk about the Marist poll, which says Hochul, as she prepares to run for full term next year, is viewed favorably by more than half of state residents, 55%. That's according to a new poll from Marist, which found the Democrat with a 49-31% approval rating. 56% of respondents say Hochul is a good leader for the state, while 77%, including three-quarters of Democrats, say former Governor Andrew Cuomo should not run again. So let me ask you this. How important is what happened to Cuomo, his resignation under fire? How important is that to your chances?
I think that Governor Cuomo's tenure is definitely Kathy Hochul's tenure. She can claim all she wants. Oh, we weren't close. We weren't friends. We weren't this. I remember the ballot reading very clearly Cuomo Hochul. So she had 8 years that she served in this position. She traveled all over the state as a cheerleader for the governor's policies. And now she wants to claim this amnesia that she had no idea what the culture was in the office. She had everyone else in Albany knew what the culture was in the office, but she had no concept of everything. And she was just this babe in the woods that had nothing to say. And she just kept her mouth shut while all the nursing home scandal brewed. And she had nothing to say on it. Then the sexual harassment scandals popped up and she remained absolutely silent. I mean, stations in Buffalo were running countdown clocks at how many days it had been since Kathy Hochul actually answered a question. You know, meanwhile, you and I both know, Alan, what her portfolio was. They sent her to pizza parties in the fair to scoop ice cream and to cut ribbons. But at the same time, she knew everything that was the senior staff was working on. She's responsible for that era's decisions because she served in that administration, and her name was on the lawn signs. So, you know, for her to try to sidestep this and act like, you know, she had no culpability whatsoever, I think it's absolutely laughable. The polling that she was trying to act like was really great. Anyone that has any skill at reading a poll could tell you that, one, you had some unregistered voters in that polling. I mean, I question the validity of what they were trying to accomplish here, but in 1 month, she's developed 31% hard negatives. The state's definitely seen as being on the wrong track. And they didn't put her in a head-to-head matchup with a Democrat. They put her in a position where, like, votes would be split between Jumaane Williams and Tish James. This poll isn't worth much. Tish James is going to dictate what Kathy Hochul's future is. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit idly back, and I don't think many Republicans are going to sit idly back and allow Kathy Hochul to have, you know, an unbridled honeymoon where she gets to just gloss over the last 8 years like it didn't happen.
Let me ask you this, Nick Langworthy. This is what we call an honesty question. You know what an honesty question is? If you lie, then a lightning strike will come out of the air and hit you in the head. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Go straight out. Is there anybody who you would consider in the potential Democratic field who would be more trouble for you than going up against Hochul? Like Tish James, who you just mentioned, the attorney general who has worked so hard.
I honestly don't know. I think both of them bring different strengths.
I hear thunder.
I don't know which is honestly the stronger of the two candidates. I mean, as an upstate politician myself, I know how hard it is to come from the western end of the state and to try to be a statewide figure. I think that Kathy Hochul has that as a bit of a handicap to her candidacy, but and Tish James, she has a scalp to claim. She went down and kneecapped Andrew Cuomo. Now, will he spend any of his $18 million to try to hurt her or Kathy Hochul? I don't know. I mean, that's the wild card in this. I think is the former governor, because he seems to be going through stages of grief, and I just wonder when the grief is going to change into vengeance.
I agree with that, but let me ask you this. Will he come back in and run in a primary? Tell me how primaries work. Let's say you have six people who get into a primary. Who gets eliminated?
I mean, the people with the lowest name ID typically lose out on those situations. So, the governor still, I didn't really look at his numbers yesterday in that poll, but I do know that, his negatives have certainly ratcheted up. Is now he doesn't get to go out and have the bully pulpit to himself. But right straight through, I think he had a decent pocket of support within the Democratic Party that was not abandoning him. So I wouldn't rule out that Andrew Cuomo seeks another term.
I don't think,
and you know better than anybody, Alan.
Well, I do know a lot about the guy, although. I've never eaten dinner with him, if that's what you're implying.
No,
that's fine. I've interviewed him many times, and I don't think he likes me very much. I know that that may seem like news to you, and I don't like him that much. So anyway, with that said, it'll be interesting to see whether he does come in. I do remember when he ran against Carl McCall at the last minute after McCall had it all sewn up, would have been the first black governor of New York, and it didn't stop him a bit, and I don't think he'd stop now.
I don't think anyone's going to stop Andrew Cuomo but Andrew Cuomo. I mean, if he wants to run, he certainly has the money. He has name ID. He knows how to put an apparatus together. And I think you see a pattern here on politicians in New York and the Democratic Party that have destroyed their careers that try to rehabilitate themselves and come back in very short order. See Anthony Weiner, see Eliot Spitzer. It doesn't really end well, but it seems to be an epidemic, especially on someone that's such a classic narcissist like Governor Cuomo.
So you're calling him a narcissist. I don't know where that comes from. That was sardonic. Are you preparing for a potential Cuomo entry into the primary?
I mean, from my perspective in the Republican Party, we can control what we can control. So we are out there recruiting candidates for statewide office. This is a quicker turnaround time than we've ever had on statewide office. We will have to have our nominating conventions in February, I've learned. The primary now being in June, this is the first time on a June primary since the governor's office has been up for election. So that is a change. We will have to nominate our full statewide slate at that point. So we have a lot of work on our behalf to do. I think we're going to have to hear relatively quickly from the attorney general if she's going to be a candidate. I think Cuomo would probably be a late entry if he comes.
I agree, because he doesn't want them coming after him and opening up all that other stuff that they have there. Let me talk to you a little bit about vaccine mandates. I'm a great believer in mandates. I have a sneaking suspicion you are not. They appear to be working. Isn't that a good thing? Are you vaccinated?
I am absolutely vaccinated. My family's vaccinated. I believe strongly in the vaccine. I hope everyone gets vaccinated. However, I have a hard time on what Kathy Hochul has done to our hospital workers. And you have a segment of our population here that we had parades for in the Canyon of Heroes 2 months ago. They healed us. They cared for us. Never has there been the arguments that they got us sick. They took care of New York when they were at their worst. They went to work while we stayed home. And Kathy Hochul basically put in the edict out to fire every hospital worker that, you know, refuses the vaccine, I think is just patently unfair. Kathy Hochul's own personal staff members are allowed to take a weekly test if they choose not to get the vaccine. These hospital workers have gotten a test every week since there's been tests. They have been run ragged in the last year and a half, and they have been kicked to the curb. I have a strong problem with Kathy Hochul creating a medical employee crisis. These places can't get staffing, and this is bleeding down into the long-term care health facilities, our ERs. You're hearing more and more stories of mothers being said that they can't go in for scheduled C-sections, procedures are being canceled, all because we have a lack of nurses. So I have a strong problem with that. Between PPE and testing, we've counted on these nurses in medical professionals to keep us safe this whole time. I'm not sure what's changed.
And yet, you got
a policy that Kathy's made up.
And yet, you got a vaccination, right? You knew that it was the right thing to do.
But I guess I have a little different view of things. It's what's right for me and my family. I don't feel that I should tell someone that may have a medical problem with it. They may have a religious exemption to it, but that doesn't seem to apply. These medical workers are being, forced to give up their career if they don't want the jab. I think that the vaccine has brought us light years further. I believe that this is a miracle of modern medicine, but not everyone, even doctor, will agree to that. There are medical professionals that are urging people not to get the vaccine. My doctor thought it was the right decision for our family.
Is he a Democrat?
I don't ask the politics of my doctor. Do you?
I want to know. Sure, I want to know whether my doctor is a Democrat or not.
Would you not trust a Republican doctor?
Maybe not. So, no. Let's talk a little bit about bail reform. I know that you've been out there on this thing. Is the idea of making sure that everybody is treated equally under the bail system repulsive to you?
No, I think that what's important is that people that have that are serious threats, that they know there's consequences to the system. And when there's no longer consequences of spending a night in jail, that is a problem. And Alan, I think maybe it's time for you to leave the studio and come on the road with me and go meet with a few sheriffs and a few district attorneys and listen to what's happened to their ability to do their job. Because you actually have to talk to the people instead of just a social experiment like the people in Albany decided to do through budget bills. They should have brought in the people that actually are charged with keeping our streets safe. And what do you have now? Everybody gets out. There's no common denominator of having to fear spending the night in a cell because it's not worth the prosecution and the paperwork. So everybody runs amok, and that's why we have a rise in violence. That's why we have a rise in petty crime. Our cops can't do the job. They've handcuffed the police and let the criminals run free. It's exactly what's happened in Kathy Hochul with her first major decision upon taking office. She takes a defund the police, architect of bail reform, Lieutenant Governor Benjamin, and makes him the number two of the state. Number two of the state and Lieutenant Governor's position is pretty important if history repeats itself.
Let me ask you this. Why did the Republicans continue to abandon their core principle for President Trump? For example, the efforts to curb voting rights in states with Republican legislatures.
You've got about 3 minutes in between your Trump questions.
You make a point.
I believe in voter ID. I believe in voter identification. I think a lot of people in that have problems with what was done in the last election, which is things were changed outside of the legal system. We have a way to legislate, and there was far too much that happened in a lot of states by executive order, including New York. Now, why do I feel strongly that New York had fair elections? Because we have a bipartisan board of elections. For every Democrat employee, there's a Republican. It's self-policing. What I did learn in the aftermath of the election is so many places like Fulton County, Georgia, you know, up in Detroit, whoever is the county executive or the county manager, they pick all the election workers. So if they happen to be a Democrat, there's only going to be one party represented in that room. That's wrong. Our system gets it right, where we have a bipartisan board of elections that self-polices, and therefore, you know, you can have confidence that you have fair elections. But where you don't have the bipartisan board of elections, you have seeds of doubt. And when you change the laws on the fly by executive order without legislative input, you're going to open the system to fraud. You're going to open the system to doubt. We are owed fair elections. Voter identification should be part of fair elections. If you need to buy a case of beer in the state, you need a photo ID. So to show up to a polling place to do our sacred, you know, right to vote, you should be who you say that you are, and you should be proud of that fact.
Let's talk a little bit about Jake Hope, which some people call it Jake Joke, and real ethics reform in New York. Now, is there a way to do that? In other words, let's say you get a new group. Who will appoint them? How do you make sure that it's going to be done fairly?
I think that if you're going to have the governor needs to be just kind of wiped out of this process. I mean, this is a state that has the strongest powers of the governor in the entire country. And Kathy Hochul, you saw what she did. She put a couple, of her sympathetic voices on the J. Cope right away, and then they papered over Andrew's $5.1 million book deal. This whole thing has been compromised from the beginning. Cuomo could teach a master's class on how to preserve power, and he did it right up until the final moment when he could, you know, his own failings undid him. The corruption. I perhaps the attorney general should have a larger role. I think we should have. I mean, we're a state that loves to have studies. I think that there should be experts brought to the table to say how do you enforce honesty in government? Is it empowering the attorney general to appoint a panel? You know, maybe, because you look at some of the people that are put on the J-Cope, these are just loyalists. And they're going to turn a blind eye for the whole Cuomo administration. I mean, the Prococo matter alone should have probably related in three or four other indictments. I mean, for the governor with a straight face to say he didn't know anything about Prococo, I mean, give me a break. I mean, even his staunchest allies behind the scenes
reminding our audience that Prococo has gone to jail and was ripping it off, and it was one of Cuomo's closest friends. Is that what you wanted
to
say?
His best friend, the governor's best friend stealing out the back door, and then the governor claimed he didn't know anything about it.
Let's talk about Gottfried. Dick Gottfried, my friend of many, 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 many years, says the best way to stop corruption is don't allow lawmakers outside income. In other words, being a lawmaker should be a full-time job. What do you think?
I mean, I think that I'd be open to discussion on it. I don't think that we'll get our best and brightest. And people from, you know, serious professions, serious attorneys, doctors, different. I think the part-time nature of it does bring us people that have a different career. Although 120,000, that's a pretty serious paycheck in most parts of the state of New York. In it's for part-time work. So, I mean, we don't need a state legislature that's there 11 months a year like Congress is, that's for sure. That's the one thing I have serious reservations about is, you know, they're dysfunctional enough when they're only at work for 6 months. If you suggest that they have to be there for 12, we're going to get a lot more needless regulation and nonsense legislation thrust on the people of the state. So, you know, I think the one thing that could help clean this up is term limits and loosening up the powers of the legislative leaders. I mean, they're far too powerful, and you need to have more equity in staffing, more equity in, you know, the rules of the Senate and the Assembly. And I think that's a huge part of it. And I think if you did that with curbing some of the powers of the governor and making them come for more legislative approval, we'd probably get a lot more honest government.
This may surprise you, but I tend to agree with the term limits, you know, idea. Let me ask you this. Climate change. Clearly, we're in a real problem here. What's your solution, at least statewide?
I think that we've come a long way with efficiency. I'm no expert on and no scientist on climate change. I mean, I think New York has put all sorts of regulations in place. Why don't we see what some of the results of those are before we start just passing new things just so we could have more press conferences? But, you know, I guess I don't consider myself an expert in any way on climate change, and neither is anyone that serves in the New York State Legislature.
Let me ask you this. Should kids who go into, and we have no time, but should kids who walk into schoolrooms be masked?
Well, they are. You know, I think in the short haul, that's going to be the answer. I mean, I don't think long haul we should submit to this. I mean, there should be an expiration date on this for sure. But, that's the law the way it is. We have to keep the schools open if that's the solution in the short term. You know, I think a lot of parents are going along with that. I really hate the idea of my kids sitting there with a mask on, you know, for 7 hours a day. I don't think it's healthy. And I think long haul, we have to have an expiration date on this. And we need to also look at the science as we now have 18 months of data from this pandemic to look at. You know, is that really something that's stopping the spread, or is it the kids just don't spread it amongst themselves as much? We don't know that. And that's for medical experts need to come up with these solutions.
Nick Langworthy, we are so pleased and proud of your being here with us. I'm going to make sure that we keep on calling you couple of months so that you can have your say. We love having you on the show. It's very important to us.
Thank you, Al.